Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is the this is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life Laughter Happiness. And today I have my co-host Barbara here with me. She's been on the show for 2 years as of April 3rd. Are you there, Barbara? Barbara, can you hear me?
You're cutting in and out, Johnny, but
yeah.
I'm sure you tried to introduce me, and yes, I am here. If anybody hear me.
I mean, I can hear you. Maureen, are you there?
I'm cutting in and out.
Yes, Maureen,
yes,
are you
I'm
there?
Here. Okay. I'm here, Johnny.
Okay. Well, Barbara, what I was going to say, I told everybody how you've been on the show for 2 years as of April 3rd. You there?
I'm here. I just can't hear you very well. You're cutting in and out. Hi, Maureen.
Wait, I'm going to try something. Let me try something here. Let me try and see if this will fix it here. Okay. Okay. Let me see here. Okay, I'm going to try to see if I can... Okay, I'm going to see if this will fix it. Okay, let's see here. Okay, give me one moment. Let me know if your sound works better, okay? Okay.
Okay. It's working just fine now. Did you lose Maureen?
I'm
no,
here.
Maureen is
I'm
there.
Here.
Oh, well, everything's fine then.
See how
hi,
everything
Maureen.
Always works. Hi, honey. Everything always works out, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. I don't know why. I just couldn't hear him for a minute, but I seem to be hearing Johnny just fine now. So let's continue, Johnny.
Okay. Well... now I wanted to bring Maureen on because a lot has happened with Barbara in the past week or so, and I figured Barbara might be good if Barbara explains it. You want to go ahead and explain it, Barbara?
Okay. Well, it was just this last basically 9 days, really. And I went to visit my mom, my daughter, and I. My daughter is 13, and we went for spring break because my daughter's on spring break. So, of course, we go and see my mom. She has been ill with IPF, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. They gave her 6 years to live. She was on her sixth year, so everybody was getting concerned, but she was pretty much hanging in there. It was a slow decline. But once we arrived the next day and the next day and the next day after that, she kept getting worse and worse. And we were really shocked how fast it was declining. But my point is, God put me at the right place and at the right time, because my mom passed away this last Tuesday, and I was scheduled to go back home Wednesday. So it was not planned. It wasn't like, oh, she's going downhill, rush out. It's an emergency rush out to see her. I was already there. Isn't that crazy?
No, not crazy. Not crazy at all. It's, you know, sometimes there's this knowing, even though you don't consciously know it. And how cool is that? It was like a calling to you to just, it was time to go and to bring your daughter as well, that she was able to go at that exact time. And, you know, to be there with her in that moment. And to be able to celebrate her transition and say, you know what, we were there. We didn't miss it. And we got to be there for her and share all those things that you wanted to say. I think it's such a blessing because a lot of us don't get that when death is sudden. So I'm so sorry to hear that, Barbara, but I also hear that you have a strength in you now, you were talking about.
Yes. I just feel like God must really love me because he put me there at that time. And I just could not imagine leaving my mom in that situation. You know, I wanted to be next to her when she passed holding her hand, and I was able to do that because they were going to make me, hold on, please, hold on really quickly, please. Johnny, please say something.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, mourning a death, I've never been very good at this sort of thing. So, you know, you're always bringing people that know how to handle various situations and have had experience with this sort of thing. Maureen, you were, you've always been one of the people that sort of gets gotten a good reaction out of Barbara. Whenever you've been on, it's been a source of, you know, of strength for Barbara whenever you've been on. So the, that's why
okay,
I had
I'm
to
back.
Ask you. Okay.
I am so sorry. You know, when you pull up and people are trying to talk to you, they don't know you're on a podcast. That's what just happened.
I love it. Multitasking at its finest. Good job. Good job.
Oh, my gosh. I just want to get in and settle so I can really focus on this. But when I got back, I had a slew of problems. And, you know, I always thought that when my mom passed away, I would be just sobbing hysterically, sobbing for days. But I already did that when I found out she was dying. I already did that 2 years ago, and I already did that a year ago. Every time I passed Chico's, her favorite store, or every time I, you know, saw Trader Joe's, anything that my mother loved, I would just start falling. And now that she's passed, I'm not doing that. Maureen, what is this about?
Oh, I love it. You know, and I feel as if people pass in their way, and they also pass in a way that they know is best for their family. And I think what was neat about it was knowing you and having that connection with your mom, you needed more time to process it. And it would have been harder for you with a sudden loss. So you got to sort of adapt to it and accept it little by little by little. And the peace that you feel now is that you have no regrets. And I think that's the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway we can have is if you're going through your life and you're telling everybody how much you love them and you're taking time to spend time with them, you don't have those regrets when they pass because you know everything was said, everything was done. She held on and waited till you were there.
Yes, you are so very right about that because every day that I was there, I would go down to my room at night and think, okay, pretend my mom is gone. What would I regret not telling people to just go back up the next morning and tell her what I wanted to tell her? And you are so right about that. That is what it is. Because if her husband would have just called me and said, Barbara, your mom has passed, oh, my gosh, but I didn't get to say this, but I didn't get to say that. How I would have so many questions about how, you know, did she suffer. Now I know I have said every single thing I wanted to say and vice versa. And all those nights, I mean, it's not that many nights, like 6 nights where I was able to do that. And my daughter, every night that she went to bed, we were able to sit at her bedside and just talk and reminisce. And, wow, I can't imagine not having that. But my brother says, and he's just a year and a half older than me, very close to her as well, he was going to come on Thursday. So he missed that, and he says that he wouldn't have been strong enough to handle seeing her suffer, because she really did suffer at the end. It was terrible, and it haunted me for a few nights.
Now, I have a question for you, Barbara. How did you get, what did they do as far as the funeral?
What did they do about the funeral? We haven't had a funeral yet. My mom is so sweet. She didn't want to ruin anybody's plans, and her brother was getting married, so she said, well, let's just do it in a month. So the funeral's on May 22nd. That gives everybody some time. So we didn't have to do it in a week. So that's how she is. She didn't want to bother anybody's schedule. But my brother didn't get to be next to my mom holding her hand, but he's different. He's way more sensitive to me, and I think that that being in his mind, he thinks that that would have been way too tough for him to have that in his mind.
I think it is so beautiful that, you know, even in her last moments, she was being considerate, you know, knowing that, and even God in the universe saying, you know what, I know that Barb needs to have this to have her closure and peace, and I know her brother, you know, needs to have it later. And I just think that's so beautiful that even at the end she was thinking of you guys. And I just love that you got that closure. That's an amazing thing, and that's why you feel more at peace. You don't feel devastated because you knew, A, that the cycle of life, we're not going to be here forever, but you knew that we said everything. We had those tender moments. We did everything that we needed to do. I remember when my grandmother passed, and we were at the funeral, and my sister was, you know, inconsolable, and she doesn't handle death very well. And she couldn't talk. And I remember getting up and talking, and I wasn't crying. I was laughing. I was talking about the moments that I had with her. But the reason why was because throughout my entire adult life, no matter what was going on in my life, I would spend time with my grandmother. I would bring her to my house. I would make her her favorite German meal. I would, you know, have her spend time with the kids. And so when she passed, I felt exactly like you, Barb. I felt like everything was said, everything was done. She knew I loved her. I knew she loved me, and there was just this peace about it. And I'm so, so happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I am really shocked, even though we understand why I'm able to be strong right now. I still feel shocked about it, but God really has given me the peace. But I have to tell you guys something that is so crazy. My mom actually expected me to leave on Wednesday. No matter how bad she was doing, she had the lung disease, so she was hardly able to breathe. Every single breath was becoming harder and harder. And to watch somebody basically suffocate alive, that was... So, because they're suffering and there's nothing to take the edge off, really, maybe a little bit of anti-anxiety medication, but just watching that was so horrible that she was saying, no, you go home no matter what. And it was upsetting her that I was saying, I can't leave your side. I can't. I'm supposed to leave your side knowing I'm never going to see you again. How am I going to be able to do that? And they were expecting me to do that, my mom and my stepfather, Don, who has been married to her for 29 years. She's strong. And a neighbor lady actually came around the back to where my room was there and said, I think that your parents are asking way too much of you, asking you to leave her side, knowing that you're never going to see her again. I was having nightmares. I was actually visualizing my aunt coming to take me to the airport and me stopping the car and saying no, like running back and saying, I can't leave you. I can't leave you like this. I was visualizing that. And then that day that she passed away, I was in the shower. I could not get warm. The water was scalding my back. It was, I'm like, this is scalding hot water, and I'm still shivering. I'm cold. And all of a sudden, I just visualized me holding my mom's hand as she passed. And that was a manifestation that I did not know. I kept manifesting leaving her. Well, it switched. It was so strange. It switched into me manifesting holding her hand as she passed. And I got upstairs to make her lunch, and they had to call 911. 4 hours later, she passed away, and I was there as she took her last breath.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, think about this, too. She knows the pain is going to be for you to watch her go. A lot of times when people want to transition, they don't want you to watch it. And so a lot of families will give permission and say it's okay to go. And it's so coincidental that we're talking about this because I have a girlfriend that just lost her mom, too, around the same time that you lost your mom. And she had moved her home from the hospital. She went into the hospital on Thursday. She got her home on Monday, made a nice little room for her. And her mother passed away on Wednesday morning, like Thursday morning. I think it was like 2 a.m., something like that. Well, she was in that room with her mom the whole time, and she went to take a shower. And when she took a shower, wow. She even said in her head, she said, she's going to pass when I'm in the shower. And her sister and her boyfriend were in the room with her mother, but she went to take a shower. And when she came back, her mother had passed. So the fact that you just said that gave me full body chills because it's that same idea that her mom didn't want her in there witnessing that. And the people that were there, they were able to handle that. Or, you know, it's just a beautiful thing that while we're here, in our physical bodies, we know who loves us, and we want to make it as easy as possible for those that we love. And even those sudden passings, they know that we can handle that. So they know the strength that we have to get through it. And I remember my friend was saying, her name is Laura, and I remember her saying, it's okay, Mom. And her mom said, she said, we'll be okay. And her mom said, I know you will. And she knew that, and she gave her that comfort just like you did with your mom. And giving them that peace at that end moment is such a gift, to give them that, take away that stress and that feeling of they're not going to be okay if I leave, but giving them that peace and saying, we're good, and you can go, and we love you.
Wow, that is amazing that this has just happened to your girlfriend. And the whole thing with the shower, too. You know, showers are really important, actually, because showers give you a time to reflect. It's kind of strange how your mind is different in the shower. It gives you time to reflect, and you kind of can figure things out in the shower. You talk to yourself. I do. Sometimes I talk to myself in the shower. It's really kind of a powerful thing. It's water. It's healing. It's cleansing.
Yes.
So kind of makes
and
sense,
you're
right?
and you're at your most vulnerable because you have no clothing on and you're essentially washing away. You're worried.
Yeah.
I've heard of that as a method of, you know, dealing with depression or anxiety. They say go in the shower and then just envision that water washing away anything that you're concerned about. So yeah, I think the shower is and water. Water is life. Water is life giving. So it is so symbolic of those moments, I think, and the fact that you had the shower moment and so did my girlfriend, it's just amazing to me. And it was really
yes.
neat, you guys. I had given her mom a reading last year in April, and I had given her some things that she used to work with hospice. She was a hospice social worker, and I remember doing a reading with her, and I had seen all of her angels around her, and she said, well, how many are there? And I said, well, there's a jury box, so there's at least 12. And I said, but they look like a bunch of women cheerleaders. And she started laughing, and I said, but they're with you all the time. Well, nobody knew that she had cancer, literally until 5 days before she passed. And before she passed that Saturday, I had messaged her and I said, hey, I just want to give you some healing love and hugs and, you know, you're positive and you're going to get through this. And her last words to me were, well, no wonder I had angels around me. And my words to her were, yes, you do. And I sent that message to my girlfriend and her sister, and I said, hey, guys, I don't know if you know about this conversation, but, you know, here's to your newest angel. She knew there were angels around her, and I just wanted to show you, you know, what our last conversation was. And, you know, it was very, very awesome to have that, to be able to share that with her.
Oh, that's beautiful, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I don't know. I'm not thinking completely clearly right now, I noticed, but I almost forgot to tell you, my mom, on one of those nights that we were sitting on her bed saying goodnight, she saw bus past my head into the mirror. I wasn't facing it, and she was facing the opposite way I was, so behind my head in the mirror of her dresser. She's like, Barbara, is that Don? No, that can't be Don. That's her husband. He's in the other room. An angel just passed by. And then she kept seeing them. She saw another one. And then she saw another one dressed in white. And she could describe what the other ones were wearing. And we kept looking back, and we didn't see them. And she saw angels. And that was just a few days before she passed. So therefore, another friend said, when a hospice nurse neighbor as well said, when I heard that your mom saw angels, I knew it would be soon that she was going to pass.
Wow. I mean, there's validation. You know, there were angels meeting her, and whether it's her, you know, her team or her ancestors, any loved ones that passed before, they were there to meet her, and that's, you know, what happens is beforehand, they'll prepare you. And that's why you're at most peace before you go, because they're helping you transition and they're giving you these peaceful thoughts of transition. But it's letting go of your physical family and leaving those behind. That's the hardest part. So being a loving family member and saying, it's okay, we love you, and it's okay for you to go, makes that transition so much easier. But how cool is that, that you got validation? She saw her angels, and they were there helping her over.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I was able to witness all that and hear it from her. And she's so strong. She didn't complain much, but I know she was in horrible agony, not just physical agony, but when you don't know if you're going to be able to take another breath or not, that's a lot of mental anguish as well. She was very strong, except for at the very end at the hospital, she could hardly talk. She could only have her eyes closed. And, I mean, just focused, you know, trying to get that oxygen in her lungs. She couldn't do anything except for lay there and let us hold her hand, and they were giving her morphine by then. Oh, my gosh, she said out loud, Jesus, where are you? It was like heartbreaking right there, because you don't know why. Why is God making you suffer for 4 more hours in hell? Why? Can you answer that? What's up with the suffering?
That is not something I can answer, and that is just something that we contract to do when we come. We decide how we're going to go, when we're going to go. And remember that everything that you do here is something that teaches someone else. So right there, that tells you that you watched that. And now you can say, hey, I don't want to go through that. Tell your daughter, I don't really want to go through that much pain. And, you know, or you see someone else's mom suffering, and you can say, well, this happened with my mom. Why don't you ask the doctors about this? So it's always that cooperative component of being together here that we help each other. And so even in her last moments, she was doing something that would help others. And you saw it and you were able to say, yeah, I didn't like seeing that, but I can help somebody else.
Yes. Because they should have had hospice in place a lot sooner. The hospice people were going to come the next morning after that So there was about a week of suffering where she should have had the hospice. But like I said, everybody was really in shock because the downhill spiral was going so slow until the last week. Everybody was really in shock. I'm not blaming anybody, saying they didn't do their part and trying to make her comfortable at the end. I'm just saying for my uncle, because he now has IPF, it's somewhat hereditary, but that is even rare. It's a very rare disease. I will go ahead and tell his wife what I witnessed and that, you know, make sure that's all in place, because limit the suffering, especially when you're trying to breathe. They call it oxygen, not oxygen starvation, but some oxygen something where you just, how would you like it if you just can't get enough oxygen? It's like you're suffocating.
Yeah, deprivation, oxygen deprivation?
No, it's kind of a weird thing.
But look at that. She left a gift. She literally left a gift for your uncle because
mm-hmm.
she went through that so you could tell his children and his wife, hey, this is what happened with her. She was strong enough to do it and volunteered to do it. And you can say, you know what, I would get hospice in place a lot sooner and decrease his suffering. So look at the gift she left.
She's always helping
one another, even in her last moments. I mean, what a sweet, sweet soul. And she's happy. And you said something before we got on the air that I thought was so amazing, and I want to address it. You said, I'm handling so many problems right now, but I'm handling it with so much strength because I want to make her proud. And she is. She is. Like, she knew when she left, you would be ready to handle the things you needed to handle, and you are strong enough to handle them. So how neat is that you said that? I love that.
Thank you. Yes. And God knew exactly what I needed, and he gave me that gift. I really feel also that he gave her a gift. I said that she suffered, yes, but 4 hours is nothing compared to what a lot of other people go through, weeks and weeks of suffering, dying so slowly, because this disease, they do die very slowly. It's just a closing of the lungs, you know, very slow closing. So he actually took her quite swiftly compared to most of the patients with IPF. So, and I think because she dedicated her life to the Lord, she was a core leader for years, like 25 years, dedicated her life to the Christian Women's Club, CBS it was called, and she was way up there on top. She did lectures, like 7 lectures in her state per year. And that's not easy, getting up there and speaking. You're a mom, you're a wife and a mother, and you didn't go to college, but yet you end up being a leader to so many women, witnessing to so many women about God, heaven, Jesus. She dedicated her life to that.
How beautiful is that, that she was such a charitable soul and she showed love and kindness. And in the end, she actually got mercy because of that, because she gave while she was here. So her legacy is that. That's what she gets to carry on. And when I was talking about my friend's mom, I sort of channeled a message after she passed. And I remember, you know, getting this message. She went exactly the way she wanted because, like I was telling you, she was a hospice social worker and she had helped so many families and patients through the long, enduring process. And for her to not have to suffer very long and to be able to not have years and months of this suffering, she would have never wanted that. And in the end, I really think, like, as hard as it is for the void that they leave for us and the sadness we have because we miss them, they're a part of who we are, and that's never going to be filled. It's never going to be like, you'll get over it. Why? I don't want to get over it. I want to miss and love this person for the rest of my life. There will be a void, but the fact that they go the way that they want to and that it's as quick as it was is I just think that's such a blessing, and how much gratitude we can have for that. That she did, she would never have, because she was such a giving person, she would never have wanted to be a burden for longer. She would have never wanted her kids to have to fly back and forth or be her nurse or anything like that. She and did it exactly
actually,
the way she wanted.
Actually, as I understand it, she was also giving Barbara things and Priscilla things. Am I right about that?
Yes, and she said, well, if spring break wasn't planned now, I mean, who would know that this is when it was just going to go downhill so quickly, spring break. I wouldn't have been here to say, hey, go through that drawer, go through this drawer, go through my jewelry box. I want to give you this diamond necklace. I want to give Priscilla that diamond necklace. You know, she goes, that would be awkward coming back for my funeral and telling Dawn, can I go through my mother's closet? I probably never would have done that. She didn't have a will. I would never have done that. That's too weird. So I'm able to wear my mom's jackets, and her wardrobe was gorgeous. We have the same style. I'm going to have these beautiful items for the rest of my life that she really, I know for sure, wanted me to have them. I didn't have to go rifle through anything after the fact, you know, saying, well, I'm sure she would want me to have these. No, she told me and directed me all through the week of what to take. And this place is packed now. I mean, I already have a wardrobe. Now I got half her wardrobe, too. So,
oh, my gosh. I have
amazing.
Something super cool related to that. So, you know, when I do life coaching and people are struggling with being what they want to be or how they want to be, I always say, imagine three people that you look up to, the whatever characteristics or qualities that they have, and imagine putting this in a cloak and putting this on every morning, and you have those qualities. And when you just mentioned you wear her jacket, that's where you get your strength. You have her with you. It's like when you wear that jacket or you wear her clothes, that's her saying, that's me. I'm wrapping myself around you when you wear this, and I'm with you. I just think that's so cool. I have full body chills when you said the jacket. I just got this message where I was like, oh, she's saying I'm with you. That's why you have strength, because you've got pieces of me with you. And I'm a firm believer in giving my children what they want before I die. And let's talk about everything. Don't wait till after I'm gone. Like, let's do it here and now. My friend I was telling you about that lost her mom before she passed, my girlfriend said, do you want anything? And she goes, I'm craving a beer. And my girlfriend was like, okay. And the entire family gathered around her, and they all had a beer with her, and they all said what they wanted to say, and they took a picture, and she posted it on Facebook. And I just looked at that picture, and I thought, man, I want to go like that. I want to go with my family around me. I want everybody around me saying, we love you. We're going to miss you. Thank you. And we have a beer to celebrate you. Like, that's how I want to go. I don't want to wait until I'm out of my body and I'm gone and I'm a bunch of ashes. I want it said now. And so that's the takeaway we have, right, is let's do this now.
Yes.
Let's tell everybody how much we love them and care about them.
Oh, my gosh, Maureen, now I have something so similar to that. This is so strange. I mean, it's not strange. I don't know what the word is, but the parallels here with your friend losing her mom and me losing my mom are very similar, because my mom was going down pretty fast. It was just, she knew it. She knew it, and she said right before I got there, I mean, she wasn't able to walk five paces without choking and gasping. But the week before I got there, she was sitting in church. This is how fast this all went downhill for her. She said to the church members, I think it's coming, and I don't want to wait for all the meals. We need them now. I want to taste your good food, because the neighbors, they brought every single night dinner and lunch and casseroles and just amazing. And she had flowers from people. So she was able to enjoy it now, just like your friend's mom said, now. Yeah.
Oh.
And that was very helpful, because we always use the dishes. Yes.
Oh
my gosh.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And look at that beautiful closure you got. It's like you had those moments, you know, instead of the so much of the sorrow and the grief hanging on to after they're gone, hold on to those and say, oh, my gosh, remember when we had this meal, or remember when she said this, or that's what she wants. That's the legacy. You want to leave that, and you want to carry that legacy on to your children and to their children, and to just say, let's embrace the now. Let's embrace every minute that we have so we have no regrets when one of us steps outside and something happens one day. We don't know.
Yes.
Our days. So that
you never
is
know.
So cool. Yes.
Yeah. And the regrets, you keep saying that, and that was so important to me, to not have regrets. And just that time I was able to, because if you know they're going to pass away in 6 years, you still aren't really focusing real hard on what would my regrets be if I didn't say this or that. But when you're faced with just, I've got to go on Wednesday and I'll never see my mom again, you're really focusing on what do I want to tell her. So that's a big
but there you
key
go.
For everybody
Why
who's
don't
listening.
We do that? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we, you know, we look at each other and, okay, I'm 50 years old. If I'm lucky, I've got maybe a good 25 years left. But what if? What if tomorrow I step out in the street and I get hit by a bus? So who's going to have the regret because they didn't make that phone call to me, or they didn't have lunch, or they didn't, you know, we should never look at it like, well, wait till the end of their life and when they're really sick to get all that stuff in. Why aren't we doing that every single day?
Exactly. We need to live like this is our last day.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Exactly.
Yep. And I wanted to tell you something else, which, okay, the clothing, that is really great. But my mom gave me a very special necklace. She had some diamonds that were just loose from an earring, and maybe she lost the other earring, and then, a diamond ring. And one of the diamonds in this necklace that she gave me of four diamonds is the diamond that my dad gave her in 1965. And she was just getting married at 20. And that's from my dad, and they were divorced like 40 years ago. But I love my dad so much, and he is mourning her loss, even though he has not seen her for a long time. But they were married 10 years, and they had two little kids, my brother and I, and the diamond. She put it in this necklace, and I'm wearing it around my neck with the other diamonds in it. And that means so much to me.
Oh, I love that. Did she have something from her childhood that she gave to you, and it was something that you would have thought was insignificant if she wouldn't have mentioned it?
Yes. Well, she gave it to me, and it's a ring, and it was my grandpa gave my grandma a ring with a Trojan soldier, and I looked it up. They're antiques. They're really cool. And I haven't taken that off since she gave it to me either. So this is something that her mom gave to her, and now I'm wearing it. It's not really like that, but there's a lot of other little trinkets. Like I kept her sewing. She sewed. She needlepointed. She made greeting cards. I took something of each one of her crafts that she was really good at as a symbol of that. So I have all those little things, but I don't know about anything from when she was a little girl, but it must be the ring that you're feeling.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And had she not told you about the significance of it, it might have been passed over.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm getting this feeling
jewelry.
Like you were, yes, yes, that's exactly. That I'm getting this feeling that it would have been really something insignificant that you would have passed over. Nobody would have thought was of any significance. But it was something that meant a lot to her. But it wasn't like big and flashy and like, oh, this is a big, you know, like the diamond
nope.
necklace is amazing. But this was something that just for her was like, carry this on. This is from when I was a little girl, and you pass this on to your daughter, and you pass it on to your granddaughter, and you know, I had that feeling.
That is it, Maureen, because
we lost Grandpa. Her father was killed tragically in a car accident when she was only 27 and I was 7 years old. And this ring, my grandpa, everybody loved him, he gave it to my grandma. So she must have, you know, saw this on her mom as she grew up as a little girl. This is it. This is what you are seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, I have full body chills, so we just got validated. That's what I was feeling. It wasn't the necklace, although, you know, that's a pretty common thing that we pass on is our jewelry. But this was, like I said, it was something I kept getting childhood, insignificant, they don't know, they wouldn't know kind of idea. And, yeah, you would never, it's not something that anybody's going to look at and go, oh, wow, that's really valuable. It's just, it's symbolic of carrying on your family line and saying that your ancestors are with you. So whoever's wearing that ring, you have that, you have all of those ancestors surrounding you. And that was your mom's way of saying, I'm going to now be with the rest of them surrounding you during all of this.
Oh, wow. And she gets to say hi to her dad. And by the way, she told me, and I was really surprised because, you know, a lot of Christians, they're not so open to the paranormal. But she really was. I was really surprised. And she said that her dad came to her in a dream years ago, and that was the worst loss because that was a tragic car accident. You know, he died. Oh, I never saw my mom wailing so hard when I pulled up on my bicycle. That's etched in my mind. But he came to her in a dream and said, Judy, I'm okay. I'm doing just fine.
Did you say your mom's name was Judy?
Yes.
That's what my friend's mom's name is.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, Maureen.
Oh my gosh.
I kept telling Johnny, Johnny, have you talked to Maureen yet? I want to do my first show about this with Maureen. And finally he said, yes, she's confirmed. I mean, there is a reason. We know a lot of people in the paranormal field, and I wanted you specifically, right, Johnny? And
that's right.
There is a reason beyond me just loving you and thinking you're awesome. It's because of this parallel with your friend losing your mom, and that's your friend's mom's name, too?
Oh, my goodness. I love that. You know, I love being the conduit. You know, I feel like the Judy's
they're probably having
okay.
a beer up in heaven right now. You know, the Judy's,
right?
They're probably having a beer. My mom likes
I'm
beer, too.
Oh, my God. The Judy's are like, okay, we got to get someone to tell Barb how this is. And the other Judy was like, oh, hey. Maureen can do it because she listens to me.
That is amazing.
Wow. I almost just fell over. I when you said Judy, I almost went, you are kidding. Her name was Judy as well. Oh,
that's so weird because when I said Judy, I thought there was something going to come back after I said her name. I thought, oh, there's going to be something about Judy now. I knew it.
Wow. I can't. I mean, they surprised me.
How is your friend doing? Your friend who lost her mom a day after I did. How's she doing?
She's doing just like you. You both are doing, you're both so strong. And what I love is that both of you are showing this, just this love and this honoring towards your mothers and saying, I accept this and I have no regrets. And you both have taught me so much about just no regrets. Just say it, do it, be there, and you'll have more peace than those who hold those grudges or hold back or don't take that time. And you both did it the same way, and both the Judys are grateful.
That is amazing, and I'm glad to hear that. You were reiterating that earlier, but I just wanted to ask again, and I'm so glad. And please tell her I'm sorry that she lost her mom as well, and that we
are strong, and it can be done. You can get through this, everybody. Losing your mom can be like losing your right arm, losing half of yourself. And the thought of it a year ago or 2 years ago, I was sobbing. And look how strong I am right now. I'm able to talk about it a few days later on a radio show without even choking up. I just thank God, and I'm just now getting the chills all over my arms and thanking God right now as my hands in the air.
Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. We're getting prepared when we don't even know we're being prepared, and it's just the coolest thing ever because, you know, we think we're so aware and alert of everything, and there's so much going on in the background spiritually and with faith that says, you're good. We've got you. We are always there to get you through this. And, I mean, yeah, you don't think you can make it through, but then you get to that moment, and there's no doubt you will get through because that's what strength is.
Yes, and death is a big part of life. That's just how it is. And God's not going to give you anything that you can't handle and survive. I mean, some people will probably be laying on their bed crying and sobbing for a week or two, but don't have regrets. Think about that now, everybody. Take care of business. Write a letter if you can't talk to them. Get it out so that you don't have those regrets.
I love that idea. You can write that letter and, you know, find that strength one day to say it or, you know, just speak it. Just forgive, you know, doing that prayer of forgiveness. And, you know, I think when you have an open mind when it comes to God and universe and source and something in the afterlife, if you have that belief, I think it brings so much more solace. And those who haven't arrived at that place, I think it's more difficult to get over the hump. And they see it more as something was stolen from me and I'm angry, rather than this is an acceptance of how life works and I can have peace with it and have no regrets. So, yeah, I think having that open mind, and it's funny you said, you know, she was really about religion and Christianity, but, you know, I think in the end, I think we all have a much more open mind when we're faced with our mortality. And I think we start seeing and feeling things and accepting things more because we let go of the fear, possibly.
Yes. And she didn't have fear, and that's a good point, because that was a big thing that gave me solace, is knowing that my mom was not afraid to die.
Well, my friend Judy, my other friend Judy, my
yeah.
girlfriend said the same thing. She said, she asked her mom, how do you feel? And her mom said, I feel at peace. And my girlfriend was so comforted by that, just knowing that she was at peace so my friend could be at peace too. And giving that
yeah.
gift to your family is amazing.
I mean, we don't want our moms and our mommies. When I first got there the second night, you know, I was teared up and choked up in the living room with her. And I go, Mommy, Mommy. And I ran to her and I hugged her because I felt like if I didn't run to my mom and cry into her neck, you know, I hugged her and, you know, with that emotion and telling her, I love you, I love you. I don't want to let you go. I don't want you to go. If I hadn't done that, that was going to be a regret. So the second night I got that over with, you know, because that's so emotional. And a lot of times we don't want to show it in front of people and everybody else was around. But it just came out. And you know what? I was like, okay, oh, what a relief. I showed that, but I really was aching to show my mom. I did it, okay? Checked off the list, you know? I mean, it sounds weird, but
no,
I went through a lot of those checklists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
But that was like pure, unadulterated, raw vulnerability right there. And like you said, I don't have a regret because she knew from the depths of my soul how much I loved her. And the fact that you were so open to show it to her and be honest. I mean, people who carry on, you know, grudges and family disputes throughout life, think about it, you know, when it's awkward at the end and you don't know what to say. You didn't have any of that. You had no walls up. You were just like, I love you, Mommy, and I don't want to let you go, and I'm going to miss you so much. What a piece for her to say, oh, my gosh, I know she'll be okay. I know she's strong, but I also know how much she loved me. And that is priceless. Yeah. No one can ever take that from you, ever.
No. And then she could relate to it, too, because she said, when I found out my mom died, I yelled out, Mommy, Mommy. And she goes, I was so grown, and she was in her early 90s when she passed, but I still yelled out, my mommy, you know. And so then we, you know, chuckled and wiped our tears away and smiled, and it was just really a wonderful moment.
Oh, you know, think about moms. Moms are our very first caretakers. They are, you know, that piece of us. They're an identity for us. They're our, as women, they're our same-sex role model. They're, you know, they're everything that we identified with in their good qualities, and even qualities that we weren't so fond of, we could still learn from them. So it's such a omnipotent, you know, presence in our life, our mothers, and to be able to grow up with her and experience all these experiences. She got to see your daughter, and your daughter got to have those moments with her. I mean, that's so amazing, because we don't all get that length of time. And so the gratitude is I had so many years to be able to show her, tell her, have fun with her, make memories with her. You can easily go to sleep at night and say, I know my mom is watching over me, and we had a really good life together in this lifetime.
Yes, I have something interesting that maybe you could shed some light on, because when my mom said, I go, well, how are you doing? Before I flew out there, I go, well, how are you doing right now? She goes, it's just time. It's time. I feel like I'm getting worse every day more quickly. Well, I brought my hair cutting scissors, professional hair cutting scissors, with me, knowing that I had this intense feeling to just cut my hair off. And once I got there, I was tired that first night, but the very next morning, before I went upstairs, I cut my hair off to above my shoulders, and I had long hair. And why is that? And I looked it up on Google, and then it came up on YouTube of when you are experiencing something that you cannot control, you do something that you can control. And one of those things is cutting your hair off, and I did that, Marie.
Yeah. Oh, that makes total sense to me. That's almost like people with OCD, we, because that's me included, we can control our atmosphere. And so for you, the only thing you could control at that moment of emotional overload was cutting your hair off, and you were able to, it also make you feel better, make you feel like a change, even a change was coming. That could be symbolic of change.
It was so strange. And then that day I'm like, oh, wow, I should be a hairdresser. I'm so good. Look at how I did. Such a great job. And then the next day, I'm telling you, the next day I'm like, why did I do this? Where's my hair? What was I thinking? Why did I have this intense feeling to cut my hair off? So that's when I looked it up, and it all makes sense. And it still looks cute, and I like it, but it's just it. Weird thing, and I wanted to make a point
beautiful.
Of it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. And it made you feel good, and like you just said, you're like, I like it, though. So, you know, that was another step toward doing something different, and maybe even your soul saying things can change and you can be okay with it after.
Yes, and then I started chasing my daughter around with scissors. Let me do yours. Why won't you let me cut your hair. And my mom was like, why don't you let your mom cut your hair? She's so good at it. And she's like, no, thank you.
See, you guys can insert that humor and that last fun memory in there, you know, and your daughter being 13 and rolling her eyes like, oh, my gosh, okay, leave me alone, Mom and Grandma. I can see it now.
Yes, it was funny. Okay, well, to close, I have a question for you. How do we talk to our loved ones once they've passed and they're in heaven? Is there a way we could open ourselves more up to that? Because I would really like to experience that. It doesn't have to be right away, but eventually experience my mom coming to me in my dream.
Oh, my gosh, yes, 100%, 100%. And channeling and communicating with your psychic abilities, all it is practice. And you've had enough psychics on your show that will say the same thing. We all have it, and it's how much practice do you give it. So here's the things, like when I've ever wanted answers and I've gotten answers, this is what I would do. So of course I would do meditations, and I would ask for clarity. And if you speak while you're in meditation and ask for those questions, they will come, and you have to let go of believing it's your imagination. And I always say this to people who just start out meditating or trying to communicate, focus on everything that is not darkness. And even if it's just colors, even if it's just a symbol, my very first meditation was like a carnival wheel. It was a rainbow, sort of this thing that you see at the state fair that you walk in and it's spinning. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And then I looked at it. Rainbows represent bridges. And the spinning was that I'm changing and things are changing fast. So don't question anything that comes through. Keep a journal and you just keep practicing. And then right before you go to sleep at night, you speak to her and you say, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to come. I'm ready for you to talk to me. I'm open, and I receive, and I guarantee you, you practice that, and she'll come. She'll come to you.
Okay. Wow. Thank you so much. It was really wonderful talking to you about
this. I'm honored that you chose to talk about this with me, Barb, and I just feel this soul connection with you. I always have, and I'm just so grateful that you'll share this part of your life with me. So I hope anything that I said can give you just a little seed of solace, but I think you're doing wonderful. But, you know, you're going to have those moments. You're going to have waves of sadness, and you're allowed to feel those waves. And then you just have to come back and say, remember the good, and talk to her and, you know, keep her legacy alive. That's what she really wants.
That's true. That really is true. She did like, she was very humble, but she did like to be acknowledged like we all do and to be appreciated because she did do so much. And we do. We really appreciate my mom, Judy. Oh, she was a wonderful mom. She was a wonderful woman and a wonderful wife. So thank you so very much.
You are welcome. Really, you don't even, it's not a future you're going to make her proud. You already make her proud. And so don't strive for, I have to do certain things to make her proud. You just be you. She's already proud. And by talking about her the way that you do, you're keeping it alive. You're keeping her legacy alive. And that's all we want as humans, is to say, I came here and I did something that mattered, and I touched some lives. And clearly your beautiful mommy did, and you're keeping it alive for her. So bless you, my dear. I'm so happy to hear how well you're adjusting.
Thank you so much.
I think we might get cut off.
Let's do the shout-out. Cut me off now, Johnny. Okay, everybody.
Okay.
We have one more minute, and that's plenty of time to do the shout-out. So we want to thank, and we're grateful for Maureen Scanlon. And you can find Maureen on social media. It's mostly Instagram, right, Maureen? Please,
Facebook,
please say
Facebook, Instagram.
okay?
Sure.
What's your Instagram?
Life coach. I don't even know. Marine.scanlan.lifecoach is my Instagram, and then lifecoachmarine.com is my website, and lifecoachmarine on Facebook.
Awesome. And everybody can find this show on our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Listen to it. And also follow us and subscribe while you're there. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're going to have the link to this show so you can easily find it. So thank you, Johnny, for making this happen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen, again. And we love you, Mama.
We love you.
Well, good night, everyone.
Both Judy's.
We love you, both Judy's. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.